Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Tonight's stories, absolutely ruined.
One-on-one.
Taylor Swift album.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with...
SJ.
We're back.
I was waiting for Sam.
Yeah.
I know.
I was waiting for... SJ came way too quick.
Yeah. We are here today. A soldier has fallen.
No.
He's okay, actually. I don't know why I said all Even Husker was upset about that. Sorry, Husker. He's fine. He's on vacation.
A soldier
he's living
fought.
His best
that's
life
my cousin.
Right now.
My cousin alive and wealthy.
But he's not here. So that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
But
I miss it didn't you, come Sam. Out that way. I really do miss you.
We miss you, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
We don't cousin, say it man. Often. We say it every single time.
Every time.
But we miss you.
We do.
We know that's what you need to hear. So.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make eye contact with the camera when I say we miss you, but...
We you miss you.
Facts. True.
Just hit the like and subscribe. Just for that.
Guys, we definitely did that really fun live stream that we totally already did.
I'll remember. You remember
super
that inside
fun.
Joke?
October 30th. That was such a fun time. We had the
inside joke.
The costume contest. And we had the special guest, which was SJ. Who showed up on the live stream.
I did. Yeah, I was there.
And we played games. We played those fun game or games.
That was really fun.
That was like so fun.
I enjoyed that. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we selling it?
No, SJ's so bad at lying.
Well, at least she's speaking in past tense. That's the biggest hurdle.
I'm trying to keep up the bit. I really am. No,
was,
I am.
It was so funny. She's like, yeah, I was definitely there. It's like, do you remember you're supposed
I
to be
I was there. I was present. I was having a good time. I was.
Yeah. Aqua was so funny. Aqua and Chanel in the same room.
Back at
that
it again.
That was crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
We had the whole squad back together.
Well, no, we didn't.
Well.
Guess who was missing? Might as well call it Cheetah Girls 3, because guess who was missing?
Galleria.
Yep.
Yeah.
Galleria.
We miss you, girl.
We miss her, though. Brandon, what's the first one we're doing?
Dang. Absolutely ruined.
Ooh, probably should have told you that one's a little bit heavy. I wasn't expecting you to pick it, but anyway.
I was going to do the Taylor Swift album, but.
We can start light with Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Am I the asshole for showing my girlfriend some criticism of Taylor Swift's latest album after she asked for it?
No.
No. No.
No.
I mean, she asked for it.
She asked for it. There are things to be criticized on that album.
She's got to see. She's got to see.
Yep.
Yeah. She has to.
1,000% because I don't know what that was.
I stand by that. There are things to be criticized on that album.
Absolutely. Yeah.
As someone who's only heard clips. And that was unwillingly.
And that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
That's all I was going to hear. Yeah. I wasn't going out of my way to listen to any of it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I did listen. I was doing my due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I hate Taylor Swift. Everybody knows this, right? Mm-hmm. I hate her music. I think it's stunted, right?
Announcement.
Surprise, not surprise, you know?
A surprise.
So I was like, you know what? I went on TikTok. I saw the hate about Taylor Swift's new album. I was like, finally, the people are awakening.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to listen to a few songs. Mm. Every.
What?
What?
That's so brave. You are really truly a soldier. And I wanted to hold your hand when I said that.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that because nobody ever acknowledges that.
Yeah. That was
the
brave.
Strength that it takes to go through that.
Yeah.
To have to listen to that.
Yeah.
To have to sit through.
Yeah. Like you saying that is just. We need some napkins.
Thank you for acknowledging that, really.
Yes.
Thank you for holding space with me.
Yes.
Hey, Cynthia. Wicked 2 out in December.
I couldn't get past like 30 seconds on each song.
Maria from Poland. who was on the 100K live stream, who did the hat prank.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Is
okay.
a Swiftie. Are you still a Swiftie?
Are you still? Did you like the album?
We'll be waiting for your response.
Yes. We need please. To know.
Any other Swifties in the comments or non-Swifties, what did you think about the album? If you listen to it, because I only heard snippets.
Yeah, not rocking with Taylor Swift, rocking with Maria though.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep. Okay, am I the asshole for showing my girlfriend some criticism of Taylor Swift's latest album after she asked for it? My girlfriend is a big fan of Taylor Swift. Last weekend when we were cuddling...
I'm sorry, it's just...
Not the giggle.
I asked how she liked the latest album. She'd been waiting for it to drop. She said it was good and asked me how I liked it. I said I haven't gotten the chance to listen to it, but I just asked because some people were flaming it on Twitter. She asked me about what, and I said I wasn't sure, just that I'd read it when I came across it. She insisted that she wanted to see the post, so I showed them to her. She read it, disagreed with a few of them out loud, tried to explain to me why they were wrong, and I just agreed with her. Last night, when we were driving, one of the songs in the latest album came up on her Spotify, and during it, she told me I ruined the album and Taylor Swift for her. I thought she was joking, but she was serious. Am I the asshole for having brought up all the criticism I came across to her?
How is he the asshole for that?
What did he do?
Ruined the entire album
and artist for her?
And the artist?
I think, girl, you might have been on the edge.
You were on the edge because Taylor has been putting out trash after trash after trash for a week. And it took him one comment about what other people were saying about the album for you to be like, you ruined this album. You ruined this artist. It's all ruined. No, girl. No.
Listen, if you like an artist mm-hmm. and you like the songs, then keep listening to the songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody else doesn't like it, that doesn't affect if you keep listening to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she's trying to be like, you ruined it for me. It's like, because they might have brought up points and then you listen to it again. You're like, wait, let me
actually now that
let
you
me
said
listen to
that.
What they said. I mean, that's the only thing that I could think of where maybe it tainted how she originally saw it, where they bring up maybe mm-hmm. points that are valid that she doesn't want to say are valid.
Yeah.
I never truly understood the phrase ignorance is bliss until situations like this happened. So I feel like she just lost the bliss. That's all yeah. it was. She was ignorant to what was actually going on behind the scenes of Taylor Swift. And then when someone puts it in the forefront, it's just like, hey, you can't listen to it the same, buddy.
You can't. Ignorance do be bliss sometimes, for real. Like, there have been so many instances where I'm like, damn, I wish I didn't know.
Yeah.
I wish I did not
and now
know.
That you know.
Yeah.
Now
it's
that
different.
You know, it's,
things have changed.
Yeah.
Now you're like, oh, I do see the comparison between Onyx and Opalite. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, somebody pointed out that like either Onyx or Opalite, one of them like is an actual gemstone and the other one is like a
manufactured.
Fake thing.
Yeah, it's
so
manufactured
for her to
be
like
that
say that
white.
It's like you're switching Onyx for Opalite. It's like you're switching the real thing for something that's fake and you're like, got you. It's like,
speaking of, sidebar.
Oh.
Would you buy a lab-grown diamond?
I've thought about it before because we've had the conversation, but I don't really look up any diamonds at all. Like, I don't know. Before I was like, yeah, now I'm like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Would you?
I think I would.
Yeah.
I've thought, but then I also think about, you know, especially when it comes to like rings, wedding rings and stuff like that, it's like, that's for life.
Yeah.
So I'm like diamonds, there's so many other gemstones too. Why just the diamond? Like, why the diamond and something else?
Well, I'm trying to find a ring for Claudia to buy.
Claudia, ooh. Don't watch this episode.
Don't watch this, please.
Claudia, if you're watching this right now, switch this off.
Turn this off right now because you can't hear none of this.
Okay.
Thank you. Because I'm thinking about what ring I want to get. Mm-hmm. I was talking to her about it. She's so freaking fake. Oh, you know, like maybe white gold, maybe yellow gold. Well, what shape of the diamond? You know, I don't really care. Just like something cute. What does cute mean? Okay. So like what size do you think? You know, just something that's nice. Like, okay.
That's me. I'm like, I don't
know. So she wants something like, from the way she described it, non-traditional with some traditional influence. What does that what mean?
Maybe she would like a gemstone then.
Yes. So she wants multiple. Just my luck. Thanos. So she wants it. Yeah. She wants.
Not Thanos.
She wants like a mixed setting. So if she gets a diamond, she said that she wants a salt and pepper diamond. And then like.
Don't know what that is.
Continue. It's like a smoky diamond, essentially. Okay. It looks gray.
Okay.
Salt and pepper. And then she's like, yeah, you know, I would love if there were like emeralds on the side. And I'm like, emeralds are like either sapphire. Sapphires are nice too. And I'm like, okay.
Hey, you know, she's figuring it out.
So I was just trying to decide if I was going to go lab grown or natural, but.
And the conversation stops here, right? Because Claudia, if you stayed and were listening to that, you're not getting any more, girl. That conversation stops here.
We don't like eavesdroppers. We don't.
And if you're a Claudia who isn't Sadia's girlfriend, but you're like, can I stay?
No, you can stay.
You can stay.
You can stay.
Claudia knows who she is.
Do Claudia stick together, though?
In this instance, no.
One Claudia's got to go in particular.
One of them.
But it's fine, Claudia. You can come back. We're not talking about that anymore. Yeah. We'll cut it out. We'll cut out what we do.
As far as Taylor Swift's album, Taylor, I would really enjoy that if by the time you turn 40, you begin writing like a 40-year-old. I would love that.
That's the gambit.
Because she's like 4 years away from that.
Yeah. Yeah. So even if we just start writing like someone in like maybe their mid-20s, that would be cool too. Yeah. I'd enjoy
somebody's
that
about to get married.
Yeah, like someone who's well into adulthood, like a well-adjusted individual.
Yeah, what's it like being a billionaire? Maybe talk
real
that.
yeah
just talk real, like you've been at the top for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you don't have a lot of friends. Talk about
Wow. That
was okay. So we were talking about stuff that wasn't necessarily the most positive, Taylor. And then you come in with like, so I think you're pretty lonely. Right?
They say it's lonely at the top. I'm just going by observation.
Mm-hmm.
She's at the top. Like, she's been that girl in that genre.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you relate to people when you literally are up there? Like they're like Taylor Swift, Beyonce in the same sentence. And some people are like, that's fine.
Other people
are like, okay,
don't you do that.
Relax. Like me even just saying that, I was like, okay, chill out on that. But it's like you're that big. Just talk about that.
Yeah.
Remember that doctor's appointment you were supposed to make a while ago? The one you meant to book, but you got sidetracked and completely forgot about it until now? Why not book it today? ZocDoc makes it easy to find the right doctor right now, and it's all online. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, and are a good fit for any medical needs you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. Once you find the right doctor, you can see their actual appointment openings, choose a time slot that works for you, and click to instantly book a visit. Appointments made through ZocDoc also happen fast, typically within 24 to 72 hours of booking. I love being able to use ZocDoc to find doctors and schedule appointments fast. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/CLP to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/CLP. ZocDoc.com/CLP. Thanks to our listeners for supporting us, and thanks to ZocDoc for being a continued sponsor of this podcast.
Am I the asshole for telling my husband that he absolutely ruined the birth of our child?
Well, that's what he did.
Hey, if it's
if the shoe fits, hey, you gotta wear it.
One thing too, I'm learning, sometimes it's good to know where you sucked.
Because we need to do better for next time.
Yeah, you got to know.
Take accountability. Our daughter is now 8 weeks old, so obviously this whole argument has gone on very, very long. We both have been holding grudges, and neither of us think that we're in the wrong. My husband does not know I'm posting this, so I'm going to keep it as anonymous as possible. So when I got pregnant with my daughter, my husband started immediately telling me that I should have a home birth. I really do not know why he was so adamant on it, but he was. At first, I brushed it off and told him I would think about it because I was only 6 weeks pregnant and the birth seemed so far off. Of course, it came quickly, and my husband would literally speak over me at my doctor's appointments when my doctor would ask me if I had a birth plan. This caused a few arguments between us in those 39 weeks of pregnancy, but I never changed my mind. Eventually, my husband's mother sat me down and talked to me, and she told me all of the reasons why they did not want me to go to the hospital for the birth. I expressed my concerns about, you know, the safety of the baby and myself, but just like my husband, she brushed me off at the end. I ended up telling my husband that I would take myself to the hospital when it was time and that I did not want a home birth. He acted as if he didn't hear me. We met with a doula who was also very pushy. I felt overwhelmed and not supported at all. I was 36 weeks at that point. So when I went into labor, I was 39 weeks and I begged, absolutely begged my husband to take me to the hospital where my doctor is. He wouldn't. He spoke to me condescendingly and called the doula instead. I was in labor for 3 days.
Oh.
Active labor for about 22 hours. I cried the whole time. I just felt something was wrong. I was scared, and oftentimes they left me alone.
Oh my God.
The doula told me that if active pushing in labor reached 24 hours, I had to go into the hospital. I remember thinking I could not decide which was worse, staying in labor for another 2 hours or having my baby there. When she finally was out, I don't even remember wanting to hold her. I just remember crying out of relief. Obviously, I'm okay now, but I did not have a good experience.
Mm.
On my first appointment after birth with my doctor, she was very shocked I had the baby. She was concerned. I was upset. I told my husband that he absolutely ruined it for me. I truly never want to go through that again. I hear mothers say they forget all that pain the second they have the baby, but I didn't. I love my daughter so much, but it was horrible, and it was entirely his fault. So I told him that several times. He'll roll his eyes every time and tells me how mothers are strong and how I'm not trying to be strong. I told him that if we ever have another baby, which he wants, that I will never do a home birth ever again. His response is, we'll see.
Really frustrated.
I cannot possibly be the asshole, can I? Everyone around me is acting like this is so normal, but it's not. Is it?
It's not freaking normal. Your husband is absolutely the a-hole in this scenario because let me breathe. Okay, you're watching your partner bring a child into the world. There are so many complications that can happen during birth. Let's just say you guys want to have your birth as naturally and as holistically as possible. That's still possible while being at the hospital. You don't necessarily have to be medicated. You can still deliver naturally at a hospital. Mm-hmm. But in the event that something happens, there's an emergency, there's something wrong with the baby, et cetera, et cetera. Every second counts in an emergency situation. If there was, God forbid, that something that happened between mom or baby and you're at home, you don't necessarily, you know, you're wasting those precious seconds that you could be at a hospital where, you know, nurses or a doctor could be attending to your partner. But I feel like during a birthing experience, it's your job as the partner who's like witnessing all this happen to create a environment where your partner is comfortable, where she feels supported, where she feels like she has people there that are, you know, there for her mentally, physically, emotionally, meeting her needs, meeting her where she's at. And for her to have to go through this experience for 3 days straight, mm-hmm. 22 hours of those where she's mm-hmm. actively in labor, mm-mm. naturally in tremendous amount of pain. Nobody's with her. She's by herself for some of this.
You left her, bro.
You
like,
left
what?
Your while she's in active labor
mm-hmm.
for her to do this all on her own.
Ooh, I'd be pissed. But I'm in so much pain. I'm like,
Yeah, you ruined this experience for me.
Yeah.
Why would I want to give you any more children? Why would I want to give you any more children?
And then his, we'll see.
What the hell do you mean by that?
I don't like how he took away all of her autonomy, you know, like literally speaking over her at doctor's appointments when she's vocalizing. I understand of like if you're a couple and like you want to have that conversation and like maybe she makes the final decision or whatever, or you guys like weigh it out. You can express that you want a home birth in the beginning, but once she's like, no, I think I want to do a birth at the hospital, that's where you're like, okay, let's do that. Let's plan for that. Let's make it as least as unstressful for the mom as possible. Let's do that. And then completely ignoring her so many times, telling her this is what's going to happen, then bringing in all these other people like that are obviously maybe his connections or his side of the family who are reiterating the point, kind of making you feel crazy. You're like, why are you guys telling me to do this thing? And I'm like telling you what I want. I guess my voice doesn't matter here, yeah. Even though I'm the one giving birth.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then her begging, being in labor and begging your husband to call the hospital. And he's like, no, take me to the hospital. He calls the doula to be there instead. And then at the very least, if you're going to make that decision for me, which you shouldn't, mm-hmm. if you're going to be the one to make that, take that decision for me, should I say, you're not going to be there to support me the entire time I'm in labor. When it's done completely naturally, like just completely in pain for 3 days. And there's times when she's alone in the room. What?
That's like zero empathy. None. Zero empathy. And if you're a man that wants more children, why would you not do everything you could to cultivate an experience where she could at least enjoy it as much as she could possible, yeah. or for her to have a good experience going through birth,
or as least traumatic as possible?
As possible.
Birth is traumatic, but you're gonna make it even worse.
You made it 20 times worse throughout this entire pregnancy. Truthfully, she's your wife, so you truly should be treating her like the eighth wonder of the world, period. But it takes work to actually cultivate an experience that you guys can both enjoy. For you to just completely just be gone, she has no support, she has no anything, she has a guy that's ordering her what to do with her body.
Yeah.
And just leaving her to figure it out. Like, you'll be fine. Like, you're a mom, you're supposed to be strong.
So that means I have to take and take all the pain in the world. You can't make my life a little bit easier.
Sorry, this story gives me the heebie-jeebies.
It's horrible.
I was literally self-soothing. That's how much her pain and writing literally. Oh, my gosh. It's like I felt it for her. Like, as she's right, I was like, bro, what?
For and, 3 days.
I'm not one of those people that are like divorce, but this I don't see a world in which you can recover from it. There's no even logical way the husband could have just sat there and saw what was happening and been okay with it, walked away. I don't see how you can walk away from a situation like that. I wouldn't have been able to. I wouldn't be there in the first place, but yeah. And even like taking away the autonomy, because it's not happening to your body, bro.
Taking away her choice. And because it almost, if I was in that situation, I would feel unsafe, because now I'm like, you're not listening. You're almost actively doing the opposite of, you're actively doing the opposite of what I want, mm-hmm. every single time. Not only do I not have any autonomy anymore, but I don't feel safe, because now I'm like, you're not looking out for me. You're like actively doing the opposite of whatever. I don't know if it's easier for you or whatever. I don't know why. Again, he's so adamant on that. But
truthfully, it literally just feels like he's treating her as just like a doll. A birthing canal. Yeah. Like, you're just here to.
My birth machine.
Yeah. And that's it. That's how he's treating her.
Bro. And then I think about it like, okay, if it did go wrong, if there was a choice between the baby or the mom. Like, what are you?
He's choosing the baby 1000%.
But yeah. Then it's like, does he have the emotional intelligence enough to sit with the guilt of the fact that he got them into this situation?
I don't think that man cares.
He doesn't care, because if you could sit there for 3 days and watch your wife go through absolute, pure, unbridled pain, and you do nothing despite her begging, despite her crying, despite her pleading. And you just say,
you're supposed to be like that. You're supposed to
stick
strong.
It out.
Take it.
You don't care. You have no empathy. You don't care about me. Because there's no way you can sit there and watch that.
And you also have some like wrong ideals about women, like thinking that I'm supposed to be able to take that and it's okay. Like, no, like just because birth is painful doesn't mean you need to make it as painful as possible. Like, you could make it easier. Like, he also sounds like the type of man who's like, why would you take an epidural?
This to is, numb it? It doesn't hurt that bad.
This
it doesn't hurt
so that. Bad. It feels like rage bait.
That's some people thought that. So she gives an update a year later. And some people thought that.
Like, rage it feels bait. Like rage bait. Like it.
They thought it was fake. They thought it was AI. There's and no, she comes back with an update.
Oh my. So this is real.
Yeah.
There's no. That man is
the
not
fact
human.
That people like legitimately go through this stuff is just so insane. And then honestly, psychologically, to go through that and then like go through postpartum and then just having to reflect on my birth experience and then having to reflect on what my partner showed me through that birth experience, I would quite literally be so disgusted and just like,
yeah,
literally get away from
and
me.
That's someone's
I couldn't
life.
Be with him anymore.
I couldn't. I don't think I could.
That's he would disgust me.
Life. I mean, because that's disgusting.
Yeah. Okay. So top comment, this man and his family are a clear danger to you and your child. And somebody else says, jumping on the top comment here to repeat what others have already said to make sure you see and understand this. OP, that was highly abusive. He made choices above your head and against your wishes. He pushed and did not listen to you at all. And worst of all, he shows no remorse or understanding that he did something wrong at all and pretty much told you he would do it again. He is a danger for you and your child. Get out and don't tell him until you and your baby are safe. He might take your phone, birth certificate, or other important documents from you. Document everything and secretly plan to get out. Believe me, it will only get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely believe that.
That man is the devil.
Yeah.
Not a good guy.
So, update.
Please, I hope it's a good update. Oh my gosh.
Hello.
I can't take it if it's not.
I really honestly just remember this account and I remember so many of the kind messages I got both on the post and on the chats, and I just wanted to say thank you. I'm away from my ex-husband. You guys helped me open my eyes to so much worse things he was doing than what I had posted here. I have two daughters now, and I just can't imagine raising either of them with a man like that. And without you guys or the post, I wouldn't have done it. So thank you. I'm now 22 years old. She was 21. She's so young.
And she was a baby. Oh my God.
My gosh.
And I shiver to think about the fact that I probably would have spent the rest of my life with him.
Ooh.
If you're a young mom like me, please, please trust that you can do it. Truly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. This is a silly website, and it was a moment of desperation for me, but it changed my life. And if you're a woman sitting here reading this, thinking there's no way you'll get away from your person, just remember that 1 year can change your life. Just read my post from a year ago and chose a better life for myself and for your babies. They deserve it, and you deserve peace and happiness. Thank you. And then top comment, there are a lot of silly posts on here, but sometimes the Reddit universe really does reach out and help someone to have a better, safer, and happier life. Thank you for the update. And OP said, better, safer, and happier is all I wanted for my girls. It's possible.
Yay. That makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God she dodged a bullet.
When she said I left my ex, it was like a cloud that was just over my eyes. I'm just like,
yeah.
I could never be a therapist. Because if I heard stuff like this.
They carry so much. They have to.
I wanted to be a therapist growing up.
Interesting. No. Lore unlocked.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Me neither.
Yeah. I wanted to be a therapist. But I think it was towards the end of high school, you know, you're like, okay, you got to kind of find a degree. And I was like, marketing. Because I was like, I realized when it comes to hearing stories, I do carry the emotions with it. Like, I carry it. So I was like, oh, that's not good. Because you got to be able to somewhat separate it because I've seen my mom do it. So I was like, you have to somewhat separate it or it's not a good path.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at least you got out of that emergency. Like this next story. We're all just silently looking at the board.
It's funny too, because I kept looking and I was like, I can't read for somebody. I kept looking. I was like,
thing. It was just words.
And I really tried to make it big, at least on like, if it's not the best writing, I try to make it big.
It's great.
It's legible.
That was all me. It was just me. Your handwriting.
That's all I need.
Flawless right now.
Okay. You don't have to lie, but thank you. Like,
it's good. That's really good handwriting.
The fact that the city is, she's like, would I be the asshole if I refused to babysit my ex-wife's child in an emergency?
Ex-wife's child. So not your child.
Not your child. Yeah. In an emergency.
Not my problem. I mean, we're exes, so like we're like quite literally disconnected from each other. I don't have any responsibility.
That's just not my problem.
Would I be the asshole if I refused to babysit my ex-wife's child in an emergency? I, 30 male, have a child with my ex-wife, 30 female. We married young, had our child young, and then she cheated on me with her current husband. After the divorce, she had a child with her husband. I never have had any kind of relationship or presence in this child's life. I communicate with my ex-wife through an app called Our Family Wizard, and we see each other very infrequently. Oh, that was a good pop.
I'm sorry. I didn't think it was going to be that loud.
When I hear other people like pop stuff like that, I'm like, that must have felt good.
It did.
I keep things civil when I do see her or her husband for the sake of my child, but I do not pretend to be friends and I have no respect for either of them. My ex-wife's husband was recently diagnosed with cancer. She told me this in person at a school event for our child. While telling me, she admitted they do not have a support network anymore and they have some concerns about what would happen in an emergency with their child. She asked if I would be willing to babysit in an emergency situation since our child will be dropped off to me in the event of one anyway. I told her I would not, and I would appreciate if she didn't ask me again. But she did ask me again before I could leave. She told me that I did not understand the lack of support they have and how their child should be protected the same as ours. She told me I surely wouldn't say no in an emergency. I told her to have something else in place for an emergency and not to rely on me because I do not want to be left caring for her child with the man she cheated on me with.
Yeah.
I told her she needed to let it go before our child picked up on any tension. She texted me afterwards and said I need to reconsider because they have no other options. I replied that my answer was still no and to please use the app only going forward. My attorney said it was the right move because it's documented in case she ever tries to drop her child off with me. He's filed it away in case we ever need it in the future. This isn't about the legal aspect, though. I wonder if my refusal would make me an asshole in an actual emergency when, according to her, nobody would babysit their child. My ex-wife is clearly very stressed, so maybe I'm not showing the compassion I should. I find it hard to have any for them after what they did, but the child wasn't a part of it, and my lack of concern for the child might be asshole worthy, especially in an emergency situation. Would I be the asshole? I don't think so. I don't think them not having a community around them is your issue.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree with what Sadia said earlier, where it's like, we're exes, we're not supposed to be connected at this point, especially breaking up in that type of way where she broke your trust, she cheated on you, and now she's married to that man, and that's the child that she wants you to look after. I think it's totally fair for you to say, I understand that you need somebody, but that person's not me.
Yeah.
And you don't need to make me feel bad for that.
Yeah.
Because you're also dropping your child off to me, our child off to me. But yeah, because she doesn't have any community, she's making it his issue.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. And he's not the asshole for saying no. Because of our relationship and what you've done, we don't have a healthy co-parent. We have an okay co-parenting relationship, but we're not friends.
But that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I would not do that for you. Don't force me to do that. Don't make me feel bad for that.
Yeah.
It's tough too because, you know, with a lot of these stories, the only one that really suffers is the children.
Yeah.
But I can see a little bit of where that guilt is coming from too because he said, so they have a child together?
Yes.
How old is that child?
Did they say?
They didn't say. I don't think so. Okay. Because it's like, okay, if an emergency was to happen, like a big one, for everybody using, the mom can't take care of the child. That would be splitting up half siblings. But I guess it's, yeah. Yeah, I don't think he is either, but I can understand where that guilt just comes out of nowhere too. Because I think he's thinking in the most healthy way possible. Yes, whatever we got going on sucks, but at the end of the day, the kid's going to suffer. But yeah, I don't think he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like maybe in a perfect world, if they had a healthy co-parenting relationship, if that wasn't the husband, wasn't the person she cheated on him with, maybe if he wants to be nice, he could do that. But still, like, that child is not your responsibility. I don't think you're necessarily the asshole for doing that, because I think it's like they're acting like you're the only person left in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, what I hear is she cheats, gets married with the person that she cheated with, had a kid with that person, realize, hey, I actually don't have a community. So then she reaches back out to the person that she cheated on them with and says, hey, in the event of an emergency, can you be my community?
Yeah.
Girl, what?
Yeah.
To me, that's a crazy ask.
And I think the OP's being nice. They're trying to, like you were saying, Brandon, they're trying to be, like, respectful. You know, you don't want anybody to be sick or have cancer, but you're like, I don't like you guys. Like, I'm doing this because we have a child together. That's it. So, I don't know.
I mean, we all have responsibilities. At that point, as a mom, you have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the reason that they don't have the community is because of what happened.
Could have been.
It absolutely could have been.
Because if that's the case too, yeah, you really
you're
are
laying
out of
in
luck.
The bed that you made.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you have to make separate plans. That's the extra work you have to do once you did the extra wrong.
Yeah.
And top comment
extra
is
extra wrong.
Because she did extra wrong. Top comment, they need to speak to the social worker at the hospital where he is receiving treatment to see what services might be available to them. And Opie said, that's something I might keep in mind to suggest if she brings it up again in person. Mm-hmm. So it would be nice where in that situation there was family, of course, but there might be something like services that could be available to them. And so I'm happy that OP the top comment brought that up, because I'm like, yeah, that's a perfect solution.
Yeah.
So she's going to have all the bills.
She is going to have all the bills. Like this, next story. That was good. I'm like looking at it. I'm like, I don't see
it. Where is he going?
A dang near thing I can transition. Am I the asshole for showing my kids the bills?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's really good for kids to see bills, see like money having... I think it teaches responsibility. I think it teaches them that, you know, everything does cost money. It's not like, you know, we just go to the store and grab stuff. Like, things cost money. We do have bills. I think it teaches them how to be an adult.
Yeah. When I originally read the title, I honestly was like, I think you might be the asshole. Because I feel like I was on the other coin of your perspective, which I do think is a good perspective of sometimes it's not the best to show kids the bills, because then it makes them stressed out about something that they really can't do to fix it. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, oh, well, what can I do about that? Now I know we're struggling. But that was based off the title. So,
and it just depends on the way that it's presented to.
Yeah.
If you guys are coming from a position of, hey, we're parents, we financially are like okay, and I just want to show my kids the bill so that they have a conceptual understanding and so that they understand like what's going on, like month to month we have things that we have to pay for. In that scenario, I think it can be really good and beneficial for kids to learn that, hey, these things do exist and this is how we manage that. On the opposite coin, if you guys are struggling and you guys are like, you know, barely got a pot to piss in and you're showing your kids these bills, I think that's a completely different thing. Because, yeah, at that point, you're adding stress. Like, I don't think that's a good scenario. But I think if you guys are financially stable and you're doing it as a teaching tool, then I think that's
beneficial. And I can agree with that for sure.
I was going to say, yeah, just don't do it without a plan.
Yeah.
It's a difference between showing the bills because you're frustrated with the kid because they don't have a concept of money versus showing the kids because you are frustrated, but showing them that this is what we have to pay and this is what we have to let go of to get that down. Not necessarily putting the stress on them, but making them aware of the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Am I the asshole for showing my kids the bills? My 48 female friend, 45 female, has kids around the same age, two teenagers each. Last time I spoke to her, it was before a party we were both going to. She said her daughter was probably going to make her late because she was taking a long shower. I told her that my kids used to take long showers too, until we started showing them the water bill, and at least one of them started taking shorter showers so it wouldn't cost as much. Personally, I don't see that as a bad thing because sometimes they do need to see how much they're costing us as parents. My friend responded that I was making them anxious. I thought it was a bit of a leap, as I talk about a lot of how much their clothes, food, and other wants cost openly, and me and my husband make a pretty good living too. So we started debating on it for a bit until we dropped it. This has been lingering on my mind for a bit, so posting it here to see if I'm the asshole.
So she gave that advice to a friend that wasn't in the same standing?
Kind of was. So they both have two teenagers.
Yeah.
They both have issues with the teenagers taking long showers. Mm-hmm. And OP was like, yeah, I used to have the same issue until we showed our kids the water bill because they're taking long showers.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like they're financially good and good standing. And at least one of them stopped taking as long as showers once they realized how long it was.
Mm-hmm.
But then her friend, who's struggling with that situation currently, was like, well, I don't know. That can make them anxious, you know. And so that's where they were struggling with like, well, I don't know. I openly show them stuff of their wants, like food or like clothing, of the things that they're asking me for. I'm showing them how much that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never been a problem. So they talked. Yeah.
I think it could be a possibility where it could produce anxiety. Again, it just depends on the way that you frame it. But yeah. I think it just offers perspective.
Yeah.
I remember I took my godson. He had got $20 for his birthday, and I took him to where did we go? I think we went to
Amazing Pizza Machine.
I honestly cannot remember where the hell we went. I think we just like went to the mall to just go shopping to get some stuff that he wanted, and he had got a couple things, and like his $20 obviously ran out instantly.
Disappeared.
And he wanted to get two shirts, but they were obviously going to be over $20. So he was like, well, I want this second shirt, but I don't have enough money. I'm like, okay, so what are you going to do? Choose a shirt. He was like, but what if I do if I don't have enough money? Well, that means you can only get one shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So which one? And it's those little things like that where they're like, oh, so yeah. Like money is kind of finite, and you do have to make like these kinds of choices, and you do have to budget. You can't necessarily get everything that you want all of the time.
Yeah.
So I think, yes, it can produce anxiety in a way. You just have to frame it correctly. But like I said, I think it, especially they're teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they are kind of in that age range where they can learn about those types of things and be able to understand them. I think it'd be okay.
Didn't you start paying for stuff
yeah,
as like a teenager?
I was going to say, if they're like mid-teens, like 15, 16, they'll be all
right. And it was specifically once for you too, right? Like clothing or...
Yeah, yeah. It was the once. I had to start paying for my once the second I got a job, which yeah. was 15. So I was like, oh, well, once you understand it, yes, those kids are probably due for some lessons. And the unfortunate part about the human experience, there's going to be a lot of hard lessons.
Yeah.
So why not give them lessons that are controlled in a space where you can explain it to them and it doesn't affect them yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then it's like adulthood doesn't come by so like quickly.
It
it's
like slowly
incremental.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you start to learn a little bit about, okay, yeah, bills are going to be a constant thing.
All the time, damn it.
And yeah. based on my choices on what I do within the house, that's going to affect those bills.
Yeah.
And then that's going to affect the way I budget for other things. So it's, yeah, they'll be all right.
Yeah. I agree with what you guys are saying. Like, it depends on how it was said or, you know, I do think what this mom is saying of how she's worried that it might lead to that anxiousness in a child to, like, start worrying about things that they probably shouldn't know about in the household. But especially what you guys are talking about, I think that's a lot of beneficial reasons for maybe why you should start maybe showing them some bills.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I could understand the anxiousness part of things because I have a lot of friends that were not a lot of friends. I have had some friends that were kind of babied for a long time. And then once they got, it was like, oh yeah, this is a shock. But it's because their parents didn't want them to worry about stuff. Yeah. Like that same angle.
Mm-hmm.
But at least for me, I'll speak for myself. My parents showed me those hard lessons in that controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
They started off with my wants, not necessarily my needs. Mm-hmm. So yes, they did still give me school clothes. But if I wanted more, I'd have to go get it.
Mm. Yeah. I've had friends like on the opposite end of that token where the anxiety is produced from when their family is struggling financially. And then it's the parent that's like, all right, like we're $58 short on this water bill. Like, when are you going to go to work and make the $58?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's those situations where I can see like anxiety being built. Cause like, you know, you're a kid and you're like, we're short $58. Where am I going to find? And it's put on you as the child
to contribute to the household,
to contribute to the bills and be like, okay, well, yeah, where am I going to find this $58?
Mm-hmm. Seeing that. That would be the total opposite of what is happening there.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're not asking. They're just showing
you. Yeah.
This is your choices and this is how it's affecting us. That's like we're all in this together.
We better figure it out. We not about to have water.
This isn't High School Musical.
We not about to have something for real.
Okay. So top comment. I mean, it really depends on how you say it. And they put in quotes, look how much you're burdening our family. We could have been so much happier if we didn't have you. Is different than be mindful of the bill and shower within a reasonable time. We have to stay within our budget.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instantly.
Everybody. Next story? Yeah?
Yeah. I think you want to say something.
Are you transitioning us?
I don't know if we need
us?
Him to say anything. Husker's checking the board too. God dang. Husker's like, y'all need help or?
He's shaking.
I don't know where the Midwestern in me comes out. I don't know where it's from.
God dang.
I guess there's country people here. There's country people everywhere.
Around here.
Run around these damn parks. Am I the asshole for refusing to let my parents have my daughter unless they spend proper one-on-one time with her? I grew up in the north of England, always feeling like the afterthought in my family. My younger sister had serious health issues, and my parents' attention was always on her. I understood why, but it left me feeling invisible. That dynamic never really changed. She was favored until I was forgotten and my health issues went untreated. Fast forward, I'm married with a daughter. We even moved to the same city as my parents, partly on the understanding that my mom, who doesn't work, would help with the childcare when we had kids. But when my wife was suddenly ready to return to work, my parents suddenly said they could only do one day a week because they were already looking after my sister's kids 3 days out of 10, including overnights. My wife ended up leaving her job, which cost us financially, but we managed. In the 3 years since, despite living around the corner, my parents have had my daughter overnight fewer than 10 times. They only ever ask last minute and usually only when they already have my sister's kids. My daughter has even started thinking her cousins live with my parents because she only sees my parents when they are there. Recently, my parents asked again to have her overnight with the cousins. We said no. I told them they need to build a proper relationship with her, consistent one-on-one time, no comparisons to her cousins, no treating her like an add-on. Until then, they can't just slot her in when it's convenient. They refuse, saying they don't want a relationship with rules and that they've already helped me in the past with money, so now it's my sister's turn. From my perspective, this isn't about free childcare. We don't need breaks from our daughter. It's about her not growing up feeling second best like I did. But now my parents are angry and I feel like I've lost what little relationship I had with them. And for me, this is a hard line with no compromise. So am I the asshole for setting this boundary and refusing to let my parents have my daughter unless they commit to proper, consistent, and individual one-on-one time with her? I don't think so. I do think your face. Okay, so I do think what he's asking or what they're asking from their perspective, to me, it makes sense.
Because
they're also saying, we don't need you to babysit our daughter. Like, we like having our daughter here. We're giving you the opportunity to see the daughter. I guess they're just assuming that that's probably what's happening. Well, I guess it's true, right? If they're like, our cousins live with grandparents, right? So, you know, if that's what they want, that's their kid, of like, listen, I want you to have intentional time with her so that she doesn't create this thing in the future. If that's what they want to do, I don't see why they shouldn't do that. I get why it's important. I kind of wish the grandparents would come back with something other than no, because we don't want to follow your rules. I'm like, if I was OP, I'm like, listen, I'd be willing to listen to like why this is happening. I just want you to have more consistent one-on-one time with them. And if you have a reason for why you're doing this, maybe let me know, instead of being like, no, and I'm not going to follow your rules because I don't like rules.
Yeah.
I guess I'd be willing to more listen more as OP. So I get why OP got to that like conclusion of why they're wanting only one-on-one time. And who knows, maybe it is causing an issue with the child of feeling like they're never going to truly get alone time with their grandparents, which is why I'm like, at the end of the day, you know, if you want to do that. But then there is that whole thing of, if the daughter looks back on this, is like, why did I stop hanging out with grandma and grandpa? It's like, oh, well, and then maybe she might blame you for that. If they really do put their foot down, they're like, okay, well, then I guess we're done.
It's one of those moments where I totally get where OP is coming from, but what is the overall decision that happens? Like, this one decision, how many relationships does this affect? Like, what does it all touch? If stuff goes south with what you're asking, grandparents are like, no. And then you kind of do the opposite effect of what you're trying to get. Daughter doesn't get time with grandparents and cousins. And now she feels like the odd one out, the one that's kind of forgotten because of this. So I almost feel like the issue is also still her working through how it made her feel when she was growing up. And that's affecting, well, obviously it's affecting how she navigates with her daughter, but it's affecting how this interaction feels. Because at least me personally, I grew up with like my grandparents, like my grandma taking care of me on my mom and dad's side. On my mom's side, I was like the youngest until my sister came around, and then there were some younger ones after me. And my grandma would watch all of us together all the time. On my dad's side, I was the youngest, but I was the youngest out of a young group of kids. So it was like, either way, I was with cousins all the time and my grandparents. I never once felt like I was like the odd one out, or I was like treated differently because I was with my cousins and my grandparents. But maybe that was just me and like a kid's perspective. As a kid, yeah, there we go. As a kid, I was like, it's just time with my family. That's it. So I'm going to build a relationship with everybody and anyone I'm interacting with. I'm not caring about one-on-one time with grandma. I have all the time with everybody. Like, everything's great. I think as adults, you kind of grow into that whole building relationship intentionally. As a kid, you kind of just do it.
Yeah.
And regardless of who's there and how many are there. So, yeah.
I don't have an opinion either way. I think I'm pretty neutral. I think, like what Brandon said, if OP, like, OP is basically saying, if grandparents don't commit to having this one-on-one time, it completely isolates the kid, and that defeats the whole purpose of everything to begin with. So I don't really know what the happy medium is in this scenario. I think the arrangement as it stands now is fine. I don't necessarily see anything wrong with the arrangement. I don't know. I really don't know.
I just wish that maybe if like they were to be like, hey, can so-and-so come over tonight, you know, to hang out with us and the cousins, maybe they could have said yes to that, but then also voiced their opinion of like, I really like it if you would hang out with our daughter one-on-one more. But also maybe just looking at from the perspective of OP saying, you know, they've been there for, I think, multiple years at that point, and it had only been like maybe 10 sleepovers, and they all included the siblings. maybe that's where it's the grandparents' comfortability of, do they want to be alone with, you know, the grandbaby, or, you know, are they okay with just having a big group thing? I don't know. I can see why OP is like showing that they don't think that the grandparents want to do a one-on-one, even though they want that for their kid. They want that relationship. Maybe if it wasn't like, this needs to be a rule, but this is what I would want for my child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because again, I just, OP feels this way. I don't know if the child feels that way, but they are including things about how it's like, they think that the cousins live there. Maybe they're including things where they're like, this is why I assume that this child might in the future feel like they're like, not necessarily the main priority, but I do think maybe a lot of that is coming from OP and just being worried about that for their own child, which, you know, I think parents have that forever, you know, different things specifically because of how they grew up. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm also wondering, and, you know, try not to read into the small details, but just on, based on OP's relationship with the parents, I'm also wondering if the grandparents are just being weary, because it seems like they have that sort of strained relationship because of how things were up, how OP feels about
their upbringing.
Yeah, their upbringing. If it's just the grandparents are just trying to be cautious about it, like, yeah, we'll let her in with people.
But why would they? I guess my question is, why would they be cautious?
Reaction, OP's reaction, because even like this right now, like this, what OP's trying to get across right now, because did it say anything about them mentioning it at first, or is it immediately, these are my expectations?
I think they just noticed signs of maybe mm-hmm. over like the last 3 years. Last 3 years, despite living around the corner, my parents have had my daughter over fewer than 10 times. And they only ask last minute, and usually when they already have my sister's kids. My daughter's even started thinking her cousins live where her parent with my parents because she only sees my parents when they're there. So it just sounds like maybe it's something that's important for OP.
Mm-hmm.
And they express that as like a, no, I don't want to do this because I want this. And the parents were like, no,
yeah,
we're not fitting into that.
Yeah, honestly, after you read that, like that first opening passage, it does kind of sound weird, because
yeah,
if your grandparents, like, and we live right around the corner, why is it that you don't yeah. really take the time?
Yeah, now here, that again. I'm
yeah,
like,
okay.
Because I do think OP is like, I do think what happened with OP, it's like, yeah, sadly, you weren't prioritized and you were kind of the invisible sibling.
Mm-hmm.
And you're even, it sucks because OP's like, I get it. I get why they did that, but that still caused trauma. Like, I still felt the way that I feel. And I still feel that even now with the fact that they are quick to take up my sister's kids.
Yeah.
But they're like making excuses for mine. Like, they said they were going to be able to watch my kids 5 days a week. But then when my wife's about to go back to work, it's, we can only do one because we're already watching her kids. Yeah. And then, I don't know.
The moment. Yeah, I honestly, now that you said that, I think that is kind of weird, only because if I am coming from a perspective of someone who felt essentially like the lost child as a kid.
Yeah.
And fast forward to today where I have my own child and I can kind of see you doing that with my own child. Then, yeah, at that point, I actually kind of get it, because I'm like, yeah, I don't want my child to experience that. So if that means that I have to remove them completely from the situation to save her from having to feel like, how come they don't ever want to really see me? Or like, how come I'm only there when everyone else is there? Yeah, I do get that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm kind of on the same track with SJ. But then also, I would almost say to prioritize the cousins then. Because if the grandparents want to be difficult, let them be difficult. You know, it's tough, but the main focus is the kid,
mm-hmm.
and making them feel like they're wanted and making some sort of relationship with family. The cousins are the next possible thing that OP's a daughter could grasp onto. So just really cultivating, hey, cousins, come over, or bring stuff to you, you know, or just really cultivating that. Because I mean, I hope OP has a good relationship with their siblings enough to do that. But that would be my next course of action, maybe. But I don't think OP's in the wrong for doing that. It's, yeah, this is one of those situation by situation type things.
And I mean, it does suck, because I do get what, you know, you guys were saying about how it's like you're kind of losing the aspect that you want, which is a relationship with the grandparent, by being so like, well, at the end of the day, they're being like that. They're like, we're not going to follow your rules.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it's frustrating, because you're like, hey, I want you to have proper one-on-one time with her. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
So, but it is defeating the purpose of like, I want you guys to be closer. And now they're like, no.
Yeah.
You either do it our way or the highway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we did the Bills, Taylor Swift, one-on-one emergency, absolutely ruined. Now for our final story.
Yeah.
Allergic reaction.
The allergic reaction.
Okay, so this story is from r/comfortlevelpod.
Oh, I love stories from r/comfortlevelpod.
Am I the asshole for not caring that my housemate had an allergic reaction? How close are you guys?
OP.
Are you friends?
How sick did they get?
This is a thinker right here.
It sounds like you're the if your roommate got genuinely sick,
yeah,
and you didn't give a damn. I mean,
because like, are you responsible if you're there and they transition to?
I feel like they
not transition to the afterlife.
Going to see the Lord. Are you responsible?
I feel like if your roommate is suffering from an anaphylactic type shock type of thing, like, you have to care.
You have to care.
OP, I hate to say this, but I don't want you to be the asshole in the scenario, but we are not starting off great right now.
That's just said, OP, I'm trying to look out for you.
But I'm trying to make some work, but
OP.
OP, come on now.
You're making me work real hard right now.
Am I the asshole for not caring that my housemate had an allergic reaction? Hi guys, I know the title is wild, but it's not what you think. I, 25, female, have been dating my boyfriend, Larry, 30, male.
Larry. We're vegan. Oh. Larry. Big Larry.
We're vegan. For the last 2 years, he's great. About 9 months ago, we rented a house with 3 other roommates, David, 29, male, vegan, Michael, 29, male, and Tina, 24, female. Michael and Tina are together and are not vegan, but will eat vegan meals. Michael is severely allergic to peanuts. We all have our own spaces and share the kitchen, living room, and laundry room. Some Sundays, my boyfriend makes big family meals, big pans of pasta, so everyone can eat and we'll have leftovers for work. This is and was only a stepping stone for us, boyfriend and I, and them, so we knew after the year was up, we wouldn't be renewing. So we all figured we could band together for the year, we could all put ourselves in better positions. And the first 6 months were great and flew by. But then David lost his job, Tina and Michael had a few problems, and Tina moved out. It was all unexpected, but that's a them issue. As long as you stick to the agreed terms and have an agreeable conversation, we don't have an issue. But the next month or so, Larry and I started noticing a lot of the same patterns. We were buying all the groceries, we were the only ones cooking, but everyone was eating and nobody was putting in on food or household necessities. Now, Tina left, but Michael still has a job. He doesn't cook, barely shops, but will DoorDash every day. Tina did all of his shopping and cooking, so when she left, all of that stopped, but it was a little while before we noticed because we were all in our own little world and what we have going on. David does a little of both. He cooks and DoorDashes, but hasn't grocery shopped for himself since he lost his job. Now, I come from a family that will help anyone. My grandma has fed and clothed so many people that it's just instilled in me. So at first, understanding that David was not working and that the guys have been best friends since the sandbox, Larry and I had no problem letting David use some of our groceries to eat. But it was starting to get frustrating when we were feeling like we were being taken advantage of, especially when our food/leftovers would come up missing. We'd have unopened boxes of rice, only have one bag in it. We are spending a fortune in household supplies and we're the only ones doing it. Oh, also Tina moved back in 2 months ago. So Michael and Tina have food again, but now you couldn't borrow anything, or Michael would say that's Tina's when she wasn't home. So you can scarf down our pan of pasta, but we can't have a few fries until we hit the store. And you know we're going to hit the store. So on to the actual story. I went home for a family barbecue, and my family's not vegan, so I brought my own food, burgers and sausages. My uncle is our family's world-class chef who turns nothing into something, and no matter what it is, it's always the best thing you've ever tasted. So he was trying a new creation at the barbecue of our homemade frying grease that had peanut oil in it. He made my burgers in it, and I brought 10 home in a to-go box, and I put them in the refrigerator on our shelf. About 6 hours later, my boyfriend and I are up in the room gaming, and we hear David yelling for Tina. So we run downstairs, and Tina's sticking Michael with an EpiPen. And I immediately assess the scene, and I realize what happened. Once he got stable enough, Tina and David took Michael to the hospital. When they left, I told my boyfriend exactly what I knew happened. I guess Michael had the same revelation, and once released from the hospital, came back upset. He was so meticulous with his allergy. So Larry and I are alone in the kitchen, and when they arrive and he asked us about it, Larry is also a vocal person and I'm shy, non-confrontational type, but something in me that day snapped. Before Larry could answer, I said straight to his face, "You ate those burgers with peanut oil in it." He immediately starts screaming at me, and Larry stood in front of me and said, "Oh no, not this one. Direct that energy somewhere else." And I said, "It's your own fault. It wasn't yours and you didn't even ask. You got exactly what you wanted." Larry, being 6'4 and 320 pounds to Michael's 5'10 and 180 pounds, he calmed down and went into his room. Tina called me an asshole for saying that and followed him. Larry made sure I was good and David tried to lighten the mood, and I went on him too for eating 5 of my burgers and probably encouraging Michael to get some, knowing that wasn't theirs. So am I the asshole? So it was Michael and David.
Michael and David, who has the allergy?
Michael ate how many?
David, that's so gluttonous for you to eat five of ten,
and then try to lighten them.
You can eat. You can throw back 5 patties.
Oh, that's funny to me.
David was hungry.
David was starving.
David was.
He's. I can't afford the.
That's like a Wendy's triple. What do you mean 5 patties?
Yeah. You're not the asshole.
I don't think I think OP should let this dude know, hey, these burgers, they have peanut oil in them.
You think they should have said something?
I think they probably should have said something. If he had, like, this guy, he has a severe allergy, I probably would have said, hey, just FYI, this does have peanut in it. But
it was on their shelf. It's not his food. So if he wasn't supposed to be, if he was doing what he wasn't supposed to be doing and sneaking food from somebody else's shelf, he would have never realized.
These roommates, absolute trash. I think these roommates are trash because there's no way that we are buying everything for this place and you guys don't buy anything. You guys continuously don't buy anything, but you eat up everything that we buy, use everything that we buy, and you guys don't put in on anything. That's a problem.
You take advantage of our kindness to you guys in your situation where you and Tina are going through a rough patch.
Yeah.
And David does not have a job right now. We were trying to help out for a long period of time, but now Michael and Tina are back. So that means they're grocery shopping and they have food. Excuse me. But when we want some of your food and we ask for it, you say, oh, well, that's Tina's food and she's at work. So I can't. So...
yeah.
But then here you are eating food that you didn't even ask to eat. And you find out at that point, if you do want to say, hey, I wrote on here it has peanut oil in it. I'm writing has peanut oil on everything.
Yeah.
No, orders from the store has peanut oil on it.
All this.
It's not going to stop David. But
touched the peanut. Looked at the peanut. Looked at it. Yeah.
A peanut been coughed all over on this.
So I would need that.
Yeah.
I completely get that. What I probably would have done was I would have had like a come to Jesus moment where I'm like, look, dude, we've been buying all of this shit. We've been cooking the food. It's like in the fridge. You guys are just eating this shit up left and right. You guys aren't putting in on anything. You haven't acted like you're going to put in on anything. You haven't asked to eat our food. You guys are eating our food, all of this stuff. You guys need to put in for yourself. Everybody needs to chip in. buy your groceries, buy the things that you need, because we don't buy food for the entire house. We don't. Yeah, we're going to stop doing this.
And it's one of those things too. I think that is definitely needed, them to reset the standard of what is standard.
Yeah.
Because it was like one of those moments where so much stuff just sporadically happened. I could see where it got to the point where it's like, fend for yourself.
Yeah.
But since they're taking care of everything, they're fine with it. Unfortunately, you know, people just work on their own interests. So, yeah, definitely reestablish to, hey, we're not doing this no more.
And I would have reset it and then, yeah. I would be so passive aggressive. I probably would be like, yeah, all this shit got peanut in it.
Yeah.
I intentionally put peanut in it just so that your ass couldn't eat it.
Yeah.
So if you want
to Chick-fil-A,
if you want to see the Grim Reaper, eat the nuggets. Eat it.
And David, fuck you.
And fuck you. Actually, yeah, David, fuck you. And you eat this shit right now.
He's a little laxative.
I want to see what happens. Eat it. No, eat it.
Okay. So what do you do though? So that's a good thing to reestablish that. But OP sounds like they have the worst roommates.
They do.
Especially
like,
David.
At that point, do you just reestablish, like, if I know that, why are we getting on David so much? I heard that and that made me laugh. I'm like, okay, so David sucks too, but like, I don't know about that little comment. You're like, especially David. But at that point, I'm like, are you putting all of your extra snack food in your room?
Yeah, I'm being petty at that point.
Because, yeah. Bless you. But all that silverware, go to my room.
That couch in the room?
Go to my room. There's no couch room
y'all
for
sitting
it.
On. Yeah, matter of fact, I'm going to sell this bitch on Facebook Marketplace.
What do you think about other people that say, I'm going to take all the cushions off?
I live for the pettiness. After I've communicated with you and you still have not met the standard, all bets are off. I will take it there. I will take it there gladly every single freaking time because I have the time.
Block the couch.
So according to OP's timeline, they only probably have like 4 months left. And then they're done. They already
with
agreed
the lease?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an awkward 4 months though. I know it.
Because at that point, I do think I am like frustratingly like, I'm saying this has peanut oil on it, everything. And because they do say in the comments, they're very mindful of his allergy. Like, they don't cook with anything peanut. There's no peanut in the kitchen. So, like, he thought he was free range when he was eating that patty. No.
No.
That was made somewhere else.
You're not safe.
Yeah.
No. If you didn't like that anaphylactic experience, then I suggest you don't eat anything else in here. Because, you know what? That's peanut in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's peanut in it.
I think at the end of the day, they were getting too comfortable.
Way too comfortable.
Yeah.
Taking advantage.
You're not my kids.
No.
You don't just get to eat my food, use my product. Yeah, no.
And then when I ask for something, you say no.
And you want to nickel and dime me? Are you out of your mind? I can't have one Tina chip.
Oh, yeah.
One Tina fry.
That made me mad. You ate the whole bowl of pasta and I'm asking for one Tina. Yeah, one Tina fry.
That's sick.
Tina fry is good.
That's really messed up.
And the English in you came out too because I heard that chip.
The chip did come out.
Chip. Chip.
I could not myself.
We saw fish and chips.
Fish and chips. I love fish and chips. Wow. In the evening after had a couple of shots at the bar and then you just go right down the road, fish and chips. Oh,
there is something that I've seen English people do where it's like a food truck, but they only do like baked potatoes and then they put beans and cheese on their potatoes.
I don't understand that.
I am judging that a little bit, England. I know there's probably a lot of stuff about you, America. Exactly, right? Right now that you're judging. Totally get it. We're judging it
too.
We
are too, yeah.
But like food wise, what's something that you see Americans do that you guys are like, gross? Because I see that baked potato and you put beans and cheese and maybe other stuff.
Abomination.
The beans throws me off. Severely.
I don't get it.
And tuna. I've seen them put tuna on it too.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, okay.
I don't know what's going on with the food scene. I don't.
I'm going to need someone from England to explain that one. Because the tuna, I was like, okay, baked potato, beans. Okay, whatever. But baked potatoes, bean, and tuna?
Because over here we have beans, greens, tomatoes, potatoes. Yams. We don't have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's.
And you know that tuna is unseasoned.
And yes.
That's probably. That's just probably straight out of the can. I feel like when English people try American food, 9 times out of 10, they love it.
They love it because it's so bad
when
for you.
When Americans try British food, it's literally disgusting. And I hate to say that because I absolutely love the country. And I wish you guys had really good food because it would make you guys like a really, really, really great country. But the food is absolutely, it's like second away from being an abomination.
And I know you, if you guys are like English speakers and you listen to this, you're like, what the helly? Like, where did this come from? We're like, you know, every once in a while, we got to throw a little jab.
Little jab, jab.
You guys jab us, we jab you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fun because it's about food, right? Not politics, right?
It's playful.
Yeah. Keep it there.
Right? Right? Please. I mean, sometimes you guys get a little bacon, crazy actually. With those incidents that happen at schools because I've seen that.
We're just focusing on the food. The good
just
eats.
Focus on the food, right?
The eats.
The unhealthy food for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But it tastes good. But that's the problem.
That is the problem.
It tastes good and it's easily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily accessible.
Man, I love food, dude.
I do too. I would love some Indian right now. That would be so good. Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
I think it's time we take a peek behind the wall. Cause the next.
He said, I need to eat something.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I do think it's time we head behind the wall. You mm-hmm. guys can peek if you want. That's totally fine. But we need to go talk to Patreon.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a story with an update. That's also from Comfort Level Pod.
Ooh.
Ah.
Why okay. are you blessing us today?
I love the Comfort Level Hold Pod on. Stories.
We got to get back into it.
Yes.
So thanks for joining us again. We look normal now. Except for the fact that Sam's not here. He'll be back next week.
Yes.
Sadia will be in that chair.
Mm-hmm.
And back we'll in my see throne. You guys next
and
time.
We and might then, not be in wigs. We might or might not be.
And the men might be in dresses and the women might be in suits.
Don't kill us.
You never know. Expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
And this isn't Big Brother, but this is Comfort Level Podcast.
Yes.
All right.
Shout out, Julie.
Bye, guys. Have a good day. See ya.
Bye, guys. Julie Chen Moonves.
Just hit the like and subscribe. Just for that. Subscribe.